Vision Sunday, I want to talk a little bit about vision. Proverbs 21:9 and verse 18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Quite simple. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It's so true in life. There's whole lots of sayings. There's a whole lots of pithy statements that are around regarding vision. We could pick a whole lot of scriptures throughout the Bible regarding the whole idea of vision and why we need to have vision. But I just want to talk very briefly from the life of Nehemiah. Some things that particularly stand out to me, just only for 5 minutes or so. You know what? Because God makes it very clear that we are to have a vision of what He wants to do through each one of our lives. Vision is individual to us, and it's to us as a corporate group of people. Vision and faith need to work hand in hand. Vision sees what is possible, and faith makes it happen. We can see something with the eyes of vision that God has led, and then faith brings it all into being and all makes it happen. And so we have to ask ourselves this question, what happens when a church has vision from God? What happens when a church grabs hold of the vision from God and runs with vision that God has given them? So I want to share a little bit about from the life of Nehemiah. Now Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of Persia at the time. It was while the Israelites were in exile away from what was then referred to as Judah. They were in exile away from the land, living away. Nehemiah was a man who wasn't even born in Judah, but he was still an Israelite. He wasn't born in Judah. He was born in Persia, grew up and became the cupbearer to the king. The king, Artaxerxes. You don't realize how hard that is for me to get my tongue around that. It really is difficult. Yeah, mock me. Mock me. Mock me with my speech impediment. I used to have a really bad speech impediment as a teenager. Shocking. And I'm not looking for your stuff there. I'm not, honestly. So he was the cupbearer. The cupbearer was like almost like a prime minister, but a helper, almost like a security advisor, a person that looked after the king. And one day, Nehemiah's in the courts of the king's courts, and one of his mates comes to him and says, "Hey, Nehemiah, I don't know if you realize, but the walls," he said, "I've just been to Jerusalem, and the walls of Jerusalem are in disrepair. They've fallen down. It's a shocking mess there. Everything's in disrepair. The temple's in disrepair. Everything is in a bad way." Well, at the time, even though Nehemiah wasn't born there, born in Persia, it hit him. So Persia, Iran, Iraq, whatever, you know, there was quite a big area there. Nehemiah, for whatever reason, was really impacted by the fact that the walls had fallen down, the place was in disrepair, and it really hit him, it really hit his heart really hard, and he was so concerned about it, he went to the king, and if you read the scriptures, the king says to him, "Hey, what are you looking so miserable for? What's going on with you? What's the problem?" And so Nehemiah shares with the king what the problem is and says, "Look, would it be all right? Could I go to Jerusalem and see what we can do about this? I want to go there and I want to rebuild these walls." And the queen is sitting there as well, and they have a little conversation, and the queen says to him, "Hey, how long are you going to be away?" And he goes, "I don't know, how long's a bit of string?" And that's what he would have said today. And he couldn't have said that today, because if he'd been so cheeky to the king or the queen then, they would have taken his head off. He says, "I don't know how long I'm going to be." They said, "Okay, nevertheless, go with our blessing." He asked for permission. "Give me a letter so I can go through these lands. Nobody will attack me. Please give me a letter so that different people, the different consuls of different regions, they will give me the timber, all the things I need to do this." So he goes there. He tells the people what is going on. He has opposition come against him, but nevertheless, he leads the people in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And that really is the quick, if you ever just get a better idea of it, have a good read of Nehemiah. There's a few things in this here. God told Nehemiah he was to rebuild it. Impossible. He was just a cupbearer to the king. But God made it possible by moving upon the heart of the king. You know what? We all need to hear God in a fresh way. Each one of us. And that's what vision is all about. Hearing God in a fresh way. God's hand was on Nehemiah and the king granted his request. You know what? When we see God move after we've taken the first steps of faith, we are encouraged to press on. Anybody ever noticed that? When you know God has spoken and you go, okay, then let's have it a go. And it goes, oh, this works. Oh, yeah, okay, this really does work. Oh, okay, this. Oh, okay, let's do more of this. It's a little bit like when God says, speak to that person, tell that person something, and you start to say something, and they respond, and you go, oh, that gives me a bit more encouragement. That gives me a bit more. I'm going to go for it a bit more, because it takes faith to do things. If we're not stepping out in faith, we're just stepping out in our flesh. So vision encourages us. Vision helps us. The result of fresh vision is that we will feel encouraged to press on. I don't know about you, but I get bored incredibly easy. Anybody else? The same old does not do me much good at all. I get bluesy about it, I get grumpy about it, and I don't want to do anything about it. I'm the sort of person that has to have new things going on all the time in my life, otherwise I don't feel like my life is doing anything. So vision encourages us. Nehemiah knew what he had to do, but he had to take action. He literally had to saddle up his horse and head to Jerusalem. You know what? It's not enough just to know where we want to go. We have to take a step of faith to see that it comes to pass. As the pastor of the church here, I know, I can see where we need to go. I really can see what we need to do. I close my eyes often and see things and know where we need to go, but it takes steps of faith. It takes actually doing things to make things happen. Today is one of those days, and all what we're doing physically with the building and stuff is preparing us some of those steps of faith to what God is going to do. You know what? It creates momentum. When you hear vision, when you see vision, when you see a direction to go on, it actually causes momentum to occur. You know what? As we begin to move and people see the move of God and hook up into a vision, momentum does always carries the vision forward. It always moves it on. It's just the fact. This is not just some pithy little comments I'm making. These are actually real things that actually occur. You know what? I don't know about you, but I want to be part of something that is moving, that is growing, something that is moving on. And this is the fact, folks. God is on the move. God is causing growth. God is giving vision to the church all around the world, and he's doing it here with us at Lee Valley Church. So we need to pray. We need to get on board. We need to go through that open door as such to what he has for us right now. An open door. We have Holy Spirit at work in our lives and the things that we do. We have all of the resources of God available to us. You know what? Because Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this: I can do all things, not most things, not some things, not just the occasional thing, not just the thing that just resounds and feels right, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He strengthens us from the inside out. He enables us to carry out those things that he requires of us. Amen? All yours, Hayes.
You know, yesterday I was speaking to some of the team, and I was talking about the fact that all the changes that are going on, they're so exciting. I'm really excited about what's going to be happening this year because there are some great things coming. And I was just thinking about faith and the fact that when God said to Noah to build an ark, you know, and he told him to get ready, even though there had never been any rain that would flood anything, but Noah trusted God and in faith got on with it and got ready. And I just feel this sense that we're just getting ready for something to come, for a flood, a different type of flood. And I'm just going to speak really quickly, but I am really excited, and I'm really excited to be part of Lee Valley Church. And I read a really incredible statistic this week, and it said that 95% of unchurched people would come to church if they were invited. It's quite high, isn't it? 95%. I also read that only 2% of churched people invite unchurched people to church. Wow. So it means that 98%, according to this statistic, of Christians, perhaps 98% of us, have never invited an unchurched person to church. That's quite staggering, isn't it? Especially that the odds are in our favour, that 95% of unchurched people would actually come. So this is something that's encouraging, that we should just grab hold of and be encouraged. Here's the thing. In Mark 3:24, it says, a nation divided cannot stand. And if we as the church are not behind a common mission, a common vision about where we're going, we're not going to stand. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, you know, this is the Great Commission. This is why we're here. We're here to spread the good news. And it's so important for us all to be behind that, united with one vision. And that is the Great Commission. So everything that we do at church is, and everything that we're going to be doing is for the unchurched. Because this is the whole point, isn't it, church? Yeah. And I think that we can get into this habit of making it all about us and making it very inward, you know, I want to sing the songs I want to sing or whatever. And actually, you know, 2 years ago about that time when I started getting involved with worship, I am really naturally, I know you guys don't know this about me really, but I am really shy. I don't like being in front of people. I don't like singing. I don't like doing stuff like that. And when I was asked to get involved with worship and lead worship and be, you know, center stage, and I'm more of like a behind the scenes girl naturally, I was really uncomfortable. And then when we changed into singing songs that were not 1990s Hillsong or 1970s hymns that I like, I found that even more awkward. But once I understood that actually church doesn't exist for me, it doesn't exist for my needs, my preferences, singing the songs that I want to sing, it actually exists to push the commission that Jesus ordained us to drive as the church, as the people, 2,000 years ago. And that wasn't just for like people who, you know, decide to get into ministry. That is for every single believer. That is your purpose. That is your mission. That is your Great Commission. So, you know, it is, things will happen that you don't like, but that's cool. I didn't like it at first, but I love it now. And I love the fact that actually we have unchurched people coming in and it's so relatable to them and it's so accessible to them and it is, and it's moving with the times. And I did some really quick study and it was about dying churches. And it said that, where is it? It said that the top reasons church fail to thrive or die is because they are inward focused, which means they're just thinking about themselves. What can I get on a Sunday? What can I get out of my faith? You know, what song does makes me feel closer to God? And they stop thinking about others. They stop, their prayers become myself, my family, my stuff, rather than actually the whole reason Jesus came is to save the world. And then he has put himself in us to do that. So everything is about being intentional. And in 2019, we're intentionally wanting to stir you guys up to think outward. So we're going to be putting on lots of exciting events. We want to get into the community. We want to be making an impact, which is what 2019 is all about. And I read a statistic that 94% of adult Christians made their decision to follow Jesus under the age of 18. So that means that there is, out of the adults, I'm not very good at maths, but there's 6%, that would mean 6% of adults, yeah? Almost there. 6% of adults then who haven't heard the gospel, haven't heard anything about Jesus perhaps when they were younger. Is that right? Anyway, what I mean is that if 94% of adult Christians made their decision before the age of 18, that sends to me that actually we need to focus on under 18s in our community because we need to be making an impact on for children. So kids ministry is so important. We want to get into schools this year. There are loads and loads of schools actually in Waltham Abbey. There's like about 10 or 15 schools that we need to get into. We want to be getting into Waltham Abbey in the local area. We want to be getting into assemblies. We want to be the light, shining the light and being outward focused. So we plan this year to get into all of the schools, into assemblies. We plan after school clubs as well here at Lee Valley Church. We're also planning more Little Giants, parent and toddlers. There are so many exciting things that are coming. But in order for it to happen, we need to be united as a community, as a body of Christ, as a church, united behind this. Because if we're not, you know, as I opened up with that verse, Mark 3:24, you know, we won't stand. And I don't want that. I want us to succeed. I want us, you know, I see us full to the brim of young people, passionate about Jesus. And it all starts with prayer, right? So we're going to be focusing a lot on prayer this year. We're going to be encouraging you guys to get behind our corporate prayer. Once a month, we're going to have a power prayer night, and it's going to have live worship, and we want everyone to get involved. And I read this really cool story in 1857 in New York. There was a guy called Jeremiah, and at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he started praying, and he was praying for God's presence to fall upon New York. Over a couple of days, him on his own praying turned into 6,000 people praying. And so can you imagine if we all pray, there's like, say 50 of us come to a prayer group, can you imagine what could happen if we're praying with passion and purpose and faith? There's so much that can happen and we can impact our community. There's no reason. And I see this full, I see multiple services. And do you believe that with me? Can you get behind that? And so that's all I really wanted to say, the fact that we need to be united in our vision, in our mission. So when you came in today, you should have been given a vision card about all of the things that we are expecting. If you didn't get one, the team is going to whip around. Make sure you do get them. And let's stand united, eh, towards this vision. So there's so much you can do. You can pray. You can get behind it. Tim's going to go on and talk about that, I think. And so that's everything that I wanted to say. So bless you, church.
Very cool. Good job. Good job. Cool. Thanks, Hayes. That's wonderful. Brilliant. Really do encourage you to grab hold of one of those cards, have a look what's on it. And Tim is going to talk about a lot more about how we can get involved. Thanks, Maddie.
Cool. So very excellent. Thank you for that. And you know, I just feel like, you know, as the church, as being a part of the church, you know, we have kind of like, we are part of the most exciting, the most dynamic organization. This is why, because Jesus is the head. We're not a business, you know. We couldn't, like, for us, a win for us is just somebody coming for the first time and hearing the gospel for the first time on a Sunday morning. That is a win for us, you know, big win. If they respond or not, that's between them and Jesus. But we just want new people, unchurched people, unsaved people to come to church and hear the gospel. That's what we want. That's a win for us on a Sunday. Because it is our passion. This is what we really, really, truly believe. Like, for us, we're not called to build a great church. Wow. We don't want to build a great church as leaders. For us, we want to build people. Jesus is building his church, you know. He doesn't need my help, you know. And he doesn't. And Jesus doesn't need my resources. He doesn't need my time. Actually, serving Jesus is my blessing, is my privilege, is my honor, you know. And it blesses me. And actually, it's the same for you guys as well. Serving Jesus blesses you. And he doesn't need us. And but it's such a massive honor to be a part of it. We're not trying to build a great church. We're not trying to build the most professional, the most amazing church. We're not trying to be super slick or anything. We couldn't give a rip. That's a New Zealand word, isn't it? It's not a swear word, is it? Okay, cool. We couldn't give a rip if things don't go exactly to plan on a Sunday, if we're not all smooth and professional. For us, a win for us is us together building great people, seeing you guys released into your God-given destiny, serving God with your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and a win for a Sunday, because church for us is a people. It's every day of the week. It's not a Sunday. A win for us is on a Sunday is for it to be such a safe place for you to bring your unsaved friends and family, for you to invite people, such a safe place. You know, first of all, we're going to preach the gospel. You know, second of all, we're not going to weird people out and throw ourselves all over them or sacrifice a sheep on the stage or anything like this. You know, a win for us is you guys knowing it's safe to bring your unchurched, safe friends and family and somebody hearing the gospel. Is that a win? That's a massive win. And so this year, we want to see that more and more. And so like Jeff said, you know, we're creating space. I said at the beginning a word I had, and I feel this is a word for us, that God is bringing us into a spacious place. Haley talked about the ark, and Noah built this ark. How awkward would it be in that part of the world at that time? There probably hadn't been rain before, you know, and never been rain, and Noah's building a massive boat. Mate, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Why? There's no water. It's never rained. The step of faith that took. The step of faith that took to build this huge ark. I mean, we're not just talking a rowing boat. We're talking a massive ark, a massive boat. And there hadn't been rain. But Noah stepped out in faith. And he lived in that place of the floods before the floods came. And though we want to be a church that lives in a place of revival, lives in a place of thriving, lives in a place of growth before we even enter that. So that's why we've opened up the balcony. We're ready to see the balconies filled. That's one of our wins for this year, one of our goals. We want to see the number of life groups double this year, which implies that as a church, we will double in size. That's a big growth. That's a big, big dream, you know. And we want to see all of this stuff. And you know, I really hope and I really pray and believe that God could even meet this before the end of the year. We'd have to have new goals and set new targets and all of this stuff. But for us, we want to see us thrive this year. For us, a big win. And the big word we had this year is that we want to have impact like never before in the surrounding region with the gospel. Because we know we are here. We're not here to meet on a Sunday for something to do. We're not here as a holy club to be all holy and religious and better than everyone else. We're not here to like sing the songs we like and do the things we do, something to do. We are here passionately, you know, obsessively here for the Great Commission, the mission of Jesus Christ. He's building his church. Our job is to build each other up. Our job is to build people. Jesus builds his church, and he's moving and he's acting and he's doing amazing stuff around the world today. Do you know that God is moving today around the world? Today, all over the world, all over this nation, people will give their lives to Jesus for the first time. Is that not exciting? We want to see this LVC. We want to see it. We want to be a part of this amazing train, and we're going to be a part of this amazing train. You know, in our history, you know, we've done some really cool stuff and we've seen some really cool things, and we love what's gone on in LVC in the past, but we also believe that the best is yet to come, you know? This isn't just a buzzword. We really believe that God is doing something new in our day, something new, an outpouring like we've never seen before, and that this is my personal kind of like conviction. I really believe Jesus is coming again soon. I really believe Jesus is coming again soon. And this is the fact that time is ticking. We have a chance while we are alive. Between this period, when you get saved and when you die, there's a thing called the life, you know, the life you live for Jesus. And we really believe we have this chance while we're on earth to live this life for Jesus, because when you're in heaven, everything's going to be amazing. There's going to be streets of gold. Worship will come naturally. You'll see Jesus and we'll see David and Abraham and Moses and we'll hang with them and it'll be amazing and really, really cool. But before then, we have this opportunity, this time called life, where we can give it to Jesus and give him an offering of praise and worship. Give him a life of worship that counts. A life that says, Jesus, you know, I recognize you've saved me. You've given me everything. I give you all that I am. Here I am. Use me. Use me. Send me into this world. Jesus is has built his church, and he's got a mission. He doesn't give the church a mission because he's given us something to do, because otherwise we get bored. And if we get bored, we get naughty and all this stuff. Actually, Jesus has a mission and he forms a church around the mission. And the mission is at the very center of who we are, obviously. It's the very center of what we do. And as his hands and feet, as his hands and feet in the world, obviously, we take this so seriously. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Will you join me in this, you know? Yeah. And actually, as we're growing people, the more and more people we see Step out and say, here I am, God, send me. Here I am, use me. I want to make my life count. I want to make the life I live now, between now and Jesus coming again, which I think is soon, or now and my death or my passing into the next life, my passing into eternity, I want to make this period of time count. And the more of us that do that, united by a mission, united by the mission of Jesus, these are without doubt the churches that are thriving and growing around the world today. Not when there's only a few people who are professional and do all the ministry, just the professional pastors, but when everybody recognizing, you know what, I am called of God, I've got a purpose, I have a place, I fit into this, I can serve God, I can give my talents, my abilities. When we all recognize that actually we are all missionaries of Jesus Christ to our generation, to our people, to our world. When we recognize this, that is powerful. That is powerful. And so, you know, I've not even got into the scriptures and stuff, but, you know, so God is not looking for a people who are super skilled and talented. He doesn't need our abilities. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need, we're not having a whip round for Jesus. Let me tell you this. Jesus is fully capable of building his church, and he's got everything he needs. The whole earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. In fact, Jesus created the whole universe. You know, when you look up and you see the stars and the galaxies in the sky, all of that belongs to Jesus. He creates it all. He doesn't need anything. But what actually blesses us is when we give our life to Jesus. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Listen to this. In John chapter 13, Jesus is about to die, and his mind is not on himself. It's not on fear. It's not on feeling sorry for himself. His mind is on us. And this is what happens. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. Rightly so, it's what I am. Now I've washed your feet. You need to wash one another's feet. I've set you an example. And very truly, I tell you, a servant's not greater than his master, or a messenger greater than the one he has sent. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Who wants to be blessed? I want to be blessed. Blessing, I'm not going to twist this. Blessing isn't for me having, you know, abundant money and I just sit there doing nothing and I'm just super rich and wealthy. Blessing for me is that there's a Holy Spirit in my life, is being so close to Jesus, is knowing I'm making an impact, knowing my life counts, knowing that, you know, for eternity, God is using me and I'm having an impact. That's what blessing is for me. And Jesus said, if you love one another, if you serve one another, you'll be blessed. And also, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples. Use what's in your hands. A guy called Henry Blackaby, a great Christian author, said this: God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Are you with me? He doesn't need our abilities, but when you're available, he gives you all you need. And this is a perfect storm of when somebody offers themselves to God and says, here I am. And they just use whatever little talents, gifts, times, resources, money, whatever it is, whatever they offer to God, God can take that, those five loaves and two fishes, he can multiply it and he could feed 5,000. It's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He can supersize and supermax whatever gifts and talents you've got. Do you know that? Holy Spirit could do impossible things through you, through me. Holy Spirit can do things we can't even dream of. Shamgar in the Bible, the Bible says this about Shamgar. It says that Shamgar was a judge. After Ehud came Shamgar. And he rescued the Israelites. He struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Let me tell you this, there was no weapons in Israel at the time. Shamgar was a farmer. An ox goad was a farming tool. He used what was in his hands, and God used him to deliver a nation. I'm telling you right now, use what's in your hands. Say, here I am, use me. Don't let life pass you by. We have this small chance. My time is gone. We have this small chance, this small window of time between your conversion and your resurrection to give a life to Jesus. This is the time we have when we choose to worship God when we don't want him, when we're tired, when we're stressed, when we're discouraged. This is the time we have to choose to say, I want to share the gospel. Some, you don't need to share the gospel in heaven. Everybody there is saved. You don't need to invite anybody to church in heaven. We're all going to want to be right where Jesus is at. This is a chance we have to invite, to share, to serve. And so I'm going to invite you, I'm going to encourage you today. We've got a load of stalls all around the building. These are ministry stalls. We want to encourage you to get involved, to serve God. We've got Alpha and Cap at the back. We have got Media and Impact there. We've got to do some amazing things impact-wise. This is my alarm. Will you just shut up, man? There. still going? We're going to have mission and impact there. We're going to do some. Also, if you are a passion for social media, go to the impact desk because we want to see people through social media impact in the world. We've got our youth desk there. Do you know what? On some of these desks, you'll get sweets. Wow. If for nothing else, go for the sweets. There's, oh, no, I'll get there. We've got games on some of them as well. You can play some games, have some competition. We've got the audio visio table here. Out the back, we've got cleaning. Please, I'm not asking you to do the whole, to sign up for every week of your life. But listen, if we had four teams sign up for cleaning, you'd only be on your rotor once a month, which means the same people, Andrew and Brenda, who turn up every Saturday morning faithfully for X amount of how long, I don't know, cleaning this whole place on their own. Don't we want to help them with that? Sign up to the cleaning team. There's desks out the back. There's ministry desks all over in the back room there for little giants. Welcome, thank you, Cheryl, and welcome and hospitality. Have a walk around. Take your time. Sign up, serve, and together we're going to see some amazing things this year. We're going to do some amazing things. We're going to see this balcony filled. We're going to be in the schools. We're going to have kids' clubs and youth clubs all through the week. We're going to serve the elderly retirement homes. We're going to do some big projects. We're going to have fun days with Tough Talk and people doing amazing stuff in the streets. We're going to make impact like never before. These are our best days yet. God is moving. He's building his church. The kingdom is coming. The force will lay hold of it. Will you believe in me? Let's stand, let's pray together. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to commit to serve. I want you to commit to say, here I am, God. I might only be a farmer, but here's my ox goad. Take what's in my hand and use it. And God can multiply, he can supersize, he can anoint what you give, and he can do impossible things, world-changing things. We're not we're not called to build a great church. We're called to turn the world upside down for Jesus. And we're going to transform this region for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, use us. Pray. Raise your hands. Father, use us. Release us. Send us. Here we are, oh God. Take what's in our hands. And we pray, Jesus, as you build your church, will you build us here in LVC? Will you, oh God, move and do new things? We can hear the sound of thunder. Jesus, you're moving. Jesus, you're doing something. Revive us, use us, send us, shake us, awake us, transform this world and turn it upside down for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.